So we're now on the Daf of Tesvav Amud Aleph in Masechta Shkolim, and it starts with Lekach Nachlok. And the Gemara is talking about the shiur of Nesachim on a daily basis. And the Gemara says, Nechalok, we're going to differentiate, Be Niske Egel Le Niske Shar. So the young calf and the more mature cow or ox have different shiurim, different amounts of nisachim in terms of the niske yayin. And the Gemara wants to know that since we find with regard to niske keves and niske ayil that there was a distinction between a young sheep and an older sheep, so we might apply the same logic to differentiate between a young calf and an older, more mature ox. Talmud Lomar, but based on the pasuk, there was an extra redundancy in the pasuk in Bamidbar Tesvav. In the previous Amud, the Gemara discussed this, and it says Kocha Yeyase Lishar HaEchad. Magid, this teaches us Shalok Chilek. The Torah does not differentiate in terms of the Shir Nesachim. Bein Niske Egel Liniske Shar. And the Torah considers a Shar, even on the first day of its birth, to be considered a Shar. It's called a Shar. Now the Gemara continues to darshan that same Pasuk and derive the conclusion, Oli Ayil Lomanemar. What is the Torah adding when it says Oli Ayil? And Hoya Bedin, the Gemara says, if not for the extra words, O Li'ayil, we would have thought, Im Matzanu Shechilek Ben Niske Ben Shana, L'Niske Ben Shnasayim, in the case again of a sheep, which is always our paradigm case, where the Torah differentiates in terms of the Nesachim between the first year of its life and the second year of its life, I would assume the same distinction might apply to an ayil. L'Kach Nemar, therefore the Torah says, Ben Niske Shnasayim L'Niske Shalosh, I will not make this distinction between the aisle that's 2 years old. An aisle has to be a minimum of 2 years old, or an aisle of 3 years old. Tamalomar Oli Aisle HaEchad, and this teaches us that the aisle is not like the keves, and therefore the aisle always has the same din of Nesachim, no matter how old the aisle is. Now the Gemara asks, Ola Se Bakvasim Lama. Why did the Torah feel compelled to add the words Ola Sebekvasim? After all, earlier the Torah already said Ola Zevach HaKevet LeKeves HaEchad, and the Gemara answers Hayu B'din. We would have thought Im Matzanu Shechilek BeNiskei Keves LeNiskei Ayil, since we have a precedent in which the Torah makes a distinction between the Shir of Nesachim with regard to a Keves Ben Shnaso, as opposed to an ayil ben shnatayim, l'kach nachlok, will make a similar distinction bein niske kizba, in the case of a female, l'niske rachel. Rachel, I think in English, is called a U-E-E-E-Y-E, right? And it's already a two-year-old little kivsa. It's tamid lomar, ola se bakvasim, that Reba is teaching me that there's no difference in the nekeva, whether it's more mature or less mature. Oba izim lamali. Why, in the case of a goat, did the Torah add these two extra words, oba izim? Shoya bedin, I would have thought, im matzanu, we find the precedent. Shechilek bein niske keves, l'niske ayil, to distinguish between the first year, the young, and the more mature ayil. L'kach nachal, I could also make a similar distinction between niske gdi, l'niske tayish, between the case of a young kid and a tayish, which is older. And Talmud Lomar Oba Izin. Hikish Katan Shebe Izin L'gol Shebe Tyoshim Ma Ze B'Shlosha Lugim Af Ze B'Shlosha Lugim. And that means that the Torah went out of its way to teach us that the same shear applies for all goats. And it makes no difference whether it's one kid goat, and there we require three lugim of yayin, or if it's a more mature goat, And likewise, we're going to require three lugim of yayin. So basically, the conclusion is that when we differentiate between bakar and son, and with regard to the nesachim that are brought to accompany them, the requirements are basically the same, with only one exception. In other words, all goats and sheep require nesachim of one isaron of flour, three lugim of oil and wine, and the only exception being the ram. The ram requires two isronim of flour, four lugim of oil and water. And cattle, without exception, that's bakar, require nesachim of three isronim and six lugim of yayin and shemen. The Mishnah says, v'shem hayom kosuv aleim etnei ramoim, that when a person offered a sum of money to purchase a karmon, they would be chosem, they made a chasima, a seal, so that no Ramai should be able to swindle and cheat Hegdesh. So the Gemara asks, why would this seal, which has the name of the day, of the week, why would that solve the problem and protect you against swindlers? Haga Atzmacha. Imagine the following scenario. Shezieg Oso Hayo. Let's say he would hold on to the seal, the swindler, and a year later or a week later, he'll match it up with that same day of the week. So the Gemara answers, Shame Mishmar Hoyakosov. On the seal, it didn't just say the day of the week, but it also said the name of the Mishmar. In other words, which Kohanim were, in terms of that week, dedicated to the Avodah of the Beis Hamikdash. Where it says that doesn't solve the problem. Haga Asbucha Shezieg Oso a Mishmar. Maybe he'll wait another 6 months until that same Mishmar is on duty 6 months later, and he'll claim that he purchased a carbon. So Gemara answers, Shem Hayom, Shem Shabbos, Shem Chodesh Hayikosav Aleim. It was written the day of the week and the day of Shabbos, meaning they would make sure that not only the, let's say it would say Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, but it would also tell you on the Chasima, the Shem Shabbos, which Shabbos was it? So it would be the Sheni L'Shabbos Parsha Shmini, let's say, for example. And they would also write the month. They would write that it was Chodesh Nisan. So therefore, afilu rotzel izayi gainu motzel izayi. Even if you want to swindle, if you want to cheat and match it up, it would be very unlikely, statistically, that it can match it up with the same day of the week and the same Shabbos and the same month. And this leads us to the new Mishnah here on Daf Tes Vav, Amid Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Shtei Lishakos Hayu B'Migdash. There were two chambers in the Beis HaMikdash that were contiguous one to the other. And that's why the Mishnah is going to delineate both of them. Achas Lishkas Chashoim, V'achas Lishkas HaKelim. And we're going to learn exactly what each Lishka was dedicated to. Lishkas Chashoim is Yirei Chet Nosnim L'Socha B'Chashoi. This is the mitzvah of tzedakah, and the pasuk in Mishle speaks about matan b'seser, that no one should know that you gave the gift. You're not looking for the glory. And there was a chamber where people could bring anonymously and secretly, discreetly, their contribution to tzedakah. And aniyim b'nei tovim misparnasim mitocha b'chashoy. And the aniyim, instead of embarrassing them to have to collect tzedakah, they would come into this chamber and they would receive money of tzedakah. Nobody would have to know about it. And the money was divvied up to them b'chashoy. Chashoy means indiscreetly. And what was the lishkas hakelim? Kol mishehu misnadev kli. a person wants to dedicate a utensil, a complete utensil to the Migdash, to what's called the Trumas HaLishka, Zorko L'Socho, he threw it into this chamber, and the Gizborim, the treasurers, Achas L'Shol Shem Yom, once every 30 days, Poskin Osa, they would open up the chamber, and Kol Kli Shematzu Bo Tzorch L'Bedek HaBayis, if they found a Kli that could be of help within the Mikdash, like for example, they had an axe, let's say they needed an axe to chop down the trees and make logs out of them, whatever they would need for the upkeep of the Mikdash, they would take, Menichen Oso. In other words, they wouldn't sell it. Vashar, but if there were Kalim that were donated that the Mikdash had no use for, Nimkar, they would sell it. And the income, Demeim, Noflim, Libetic Habayis. They would set it aside for any sort of upkeep for the Beis HaMikdash. If, let's say, there were cracks in the Beis HaMikdash in the walls, or they had to do some sort of renovation, and that money was there. Now, we're about to embark upon a Gemara about tzedakah. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman, Havan Parnosim. Parnosim are those who are the treasurers that would oversee the kupas hatzibur, vahavyon yavin, the Rabbi Chama avoid Rabbi Yoshia, dinar. They would dispense of a dinar for a poor person by the name of Rabbi Chama, and for who, but he did not benefit personally from this tzedakah, Yoiv Le Lechurna, he gave it to others. In other words, he felt that his need to receive tzedakah was less than the need of other aniyim. Rabbi Zecharia, Chasnei de Rabbi Levi, Hoyakol Malizan Olav. There was an individual by the name of Rabbi Zecharia, and he would receive money from the tzedakah, and everybody made fun of him. They started spreading bad rumors about him, as if he was a rich guy, and he was cheating the aniyim. Amrin de lo tzok, they said he doesn't need it, but in truth, who nasiv? I'm sorry, for who nasiv, and yet he's taking the money. But min de damach, after he passed away, Budkin, they checked him out, the Ashkin, and what they find out, Avi Maflig Le Lechurni, he would take all this money, not for himself, but rather to divvy it up for others. So that even money that he had on his own personal funds, he would give to tzedakah. And how much more so, the tzedakah that he received from others who contributed, certainly he would dedicate him and earmark him to the poor people. Rab Chanina bar Papa Avimaflig b'mitzvah, he would divvy up tzedakah to the poor people, but Lila, and he did it at night. He didn't want anyone to know about it, and he didn't want the recipients to be embarrassed, but at night is when the Shadim have control of the nights. Chad Zman, one time, Pogabe Ravon de Ruchaya, the head honcho of all the shade that met him. And he accused him of what we call Hasogas Gvul. Amale, the king of the Shadim, turns to Rav Chinen and he says to him, Lo Kein Alfin Rebbe, didn't you, Rebbe, teach us a pasuk in Dvarim, Lo Sasig Gvul Reacha? You're not allowed to encroach upon the boundaries of someone else. We work, the Shadim work the night shift, and you guys sleep at night, and you work during the day, we take it easy during the night, during the day. So you should be asleep now. Why are you running around the streets at night? Amale, sort of Chinina, responded to the king of the Shadim, V'lo kein ksiv, doesn't it say in the pasuk in Mishlei, Matan b'seiser, yichpe af. The word af is indicative of shadim. because the Shadim sort of reflect the anger against those who deserve to be brought down by the Shadim. But Yichbe means to subjugate them. So a matan b'seiser, by giving tzedakah at night, when no one would know who gave the tzedakah and the recipients would not be embarrassed by the donor being aware of their identity, that's a special mitzvah. And what's the power of matan b'seiser? It's yichve af. Af here is a reference to the Shadim, to the Mazikin. Yichpe means they will be subjugated. Father Mr. Femine, and the Melech HaShadim was afraid of Rav Chinina because he realized that Rav Chinina had this power of Yichpe Af, the Arik Min Komoi, and he ran away. Amar Rav Yonah says, let's interpret a pasuk in Tillim, Ashrei Maskil El Dol. Now, the word maskil has a very specific meaning. Maskil means miloshen seichel, but in a very specific way, it means to be aware of, to be sensitive, to identify with the feelings of others. That's called maskil, and dull is a poor person. So the pasuk, David HaMelech, praises the person who is ashrei, is fortunate, because when he dispenses of monies, meaning for tzedakah, he is a maskil el dol. Ashrei nosein ledol ein ksiv. It doesn't say that he gives to the poor, but rather maskil el dol. And what is the insight of maskil? Zeshu mistakil b'mitzvah hechlas sosa. He analyzes, how can we fulfill this mitzvah? And in tzedakah, it means to analyze, how can you give out tzedakah, dispense of tzedakah laniyim, in a way that they would not be embarrassed. So, ketzad hoya Rav Yonah ose? How did Rav Yonah himself, who dispensed of charity funds, fulfill this level of maskil el dol? K'shayaroeh ani bein tovim, sheyored minechasov. He saw a person who came from good stock, but unfortunately, as time went on, this person became destitute. Financially, everything got depressed, and now he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to receive tzedakah. So Rabbi Yonah is going to find a way in which he can get the money to this person without embarrassing him. So what did he do? Omerlo, he would say to him, Bini, Bishvil, since I heard, Sheshamati shenoflo l'cha Yerusha makom acher, that somebody, a relative of yours, passed away elsewhere, and you haven't been able to yet actually possess the estate, the Yerusha, is toll, take some money from me, and you'll pay me back. V'ata porea. Notice, when you'll get a hold of the inheritance, you'll pay me back. The whole thing was a geblufta maisa. Min tahavin nasiv. The poor person would agree to receive the mos, and then hava omar le matana hiloch. And then Rabbi Yonah would say to him, the monies that I gave you is an outright gift. So that would somehow diminish or decrease the element of busha in the giving, or I should say in the receiving of the funds. Now I have here a note from the Karbon Ha'eda, the super commentary on the Yerushalmi. He says, Hoya Omer lo, Im lo yeh lecha l'shalem, harei amos lecha mematana. If you don't have the money to pay me back, then let the money be yours as a gift. He was afraid, Rabbi Yonah, that the ani is going to make such an effort to pay back the chov. He realizes that there was no Yerusha, and that's going to crush him, because he doesn't have really access to funds. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Ada is havasavin b'yemehon. There were elderly statesmen in our generation, mandaviyoyev lahon, that if you gave them tzedakah during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Aseres Metshuva, Biben Rei Shaitel Itzomer Rava, is Hava Nosvin, they would receive the money. They would accept the money. But Min Basar Kain, after Yom Kippur, Lo Avin Nesivin, they would refuse to accept the money. Why? Amrin, these Kainim would declare Deshatan Gabon. In other words, that there's a year in front of us, and we'll do whatever we have to do with all the tircha that we have to expend, and we will find food to eat, so we don't need money. Now, here I have a comment, again, from the commentators on the Yerushalmi, in this case, Rabbeinu Meshulam. He says that, Mizonosav shel Adam Ktsuvim, but from Rosh Hashanah till Yom HaKippurim, that's the period of time which HaKadosh Baruch determines for the full year how much money you're going to be, you know, how much income will come into your possession. So therefore, up until Yom Kippur, there was no, it wasn't Katsuv yet. It wasn't determined exactly the sum of money. After Yom Kippur, it was ready Katsuv, and therefore God had already signed and sealed how much Parnassah they would have for the balance of the year. Therefore, they refused to accept tzedakah funds. Oh, now we get to Nehemiah. Nehemiah ish shichin. Nehemiah was in charge of digging the cisterns, and it was a voluntary practice of his, out of a sense of love and mesiras nefesh for the community. Pagabo Yerushalmi echad, and one ani. Just one second. This is Nehemiah. Oh, I made a mistake. I was referring to Nechunya. Nechunya we had in the last Gemara was the one who dug the boros. So the word shichin here doesn't mean the boros, the cisterns. It means a place. So we're talking about Nehemiah, who comes from a place called shichin. Oh, wait a second. Look at this. I inadvertently was mechavi to another girsa. The Rash Barash has a girsa Nechunya. And then it makes sense that he was the Ish Shichin. Okay. Anyway, but our girsa is Nehemiah. In any event, Pogobob Yushalmi Echad, one poor person from Jerusalem, came to see him, Amale, and the poor person turns to Nehemiah and says, Zechemi, please give me tzedakah. But what do I want for tzedakah? He's got a very high demand, this ani. It's like, I don't know if you ever had the experience where you give someone an amount of money and they don't even want to take it. It's not mechubad. So he asked Chachad Tarnagolosa. He was demanding that they give him a hen so that he could shecht it and eat it. Now it seems, which this is a pella to me, I don't understand this, but the Gemara seems to be assuming that the meat of a tarnagolas is the best meat around. It's better than beef. Amalei, so Nehemiah said, Halacha tomise de kupad. Take this matbea, this coin, and buy yourself beef. Get yourself a beef hot dog. In other words, you're coming to receive tzedakah. You don't have the right to demand that we give you tzedakah on the highest level, and we provide you with the money to buy basar tanagolim, which is very expensive. I'm going to give you money, and you go buy the meat of behema. So the ani took the matbea, v'zav, and kupad, and he bought himself the meat of an animal, v'ochel v'meis, and he died. What happened? The ani had gotten so used to the high standard of basar tanagolim that his body could not survive eating anything less than basar tarnagolim. And Nehemiah realized now that he inadvertently caused the death of this ani. Did you follow this, David? Yeah. Okay. Good. So now Hayetzoveach. Nehemiah is crying out loud. He's really in grief. V'amar, and he said, Bo v'siftu la'arugo shel Nehemiah. Now, here we have a gigantic machlokes as to what's going on over here. Who is he crying about? And he's asking for a hesped. For whom? So according to one interpretation, what Nehemiah was saying was that I am responsible for my pshia, my negligence. I didn't give enough money to buy Tarnagolas for his death. And others say, and that's based on a slightly different reading of the text, is that it should have said, Oilo l'Nehemiah. So this is a Gemara in Masechta Ksubis. This Yerushalmi that we're doing now has a parallel Bavli. And in the Bavli, in the same identical story, the punchline of the story is that after this man died, he said, Nehemiah declared, Oilo l'zesha hargo Nehemiah, that Nehemiah was responsible for his death. And the Gemara objects that. He says, Adarabba. It should have said, Oilo l'Nehemiah shahargo l'zeh. What does it say, shahargo Nehemiah? It should have said, shahargo Nehemiah. Ella, so the Gemara's final conclusion there, Ksubas, Iyuhu delo iboile lefnuke nafshe kulihai. That according to the declaration of Nehemiah, he was telling the people that a person should not get used to eating on such a sophisticated level. It's called pinuk. And basically, he brought about his own death, because if you get used to and addicted to a very high standard, then if you can't reach up to that standard, you know, you're going to starve. Now we have the famous story of Nochum Ish Gamzu. Another story about Stoka. Hayamolich Doron Lebeis Chamov. He was bringing a gift to his father-in-law. I guess there are some people who actually love their father-in-law, so they bring a gift to the father-in-law. And he had three donkeys that were laden with food, with drink, and with various megadim, you know, delicacies. Pagabo mukashchin echad. There was this very ill person who was very, very poor and met him. Omar le, and this poor person turns to Nachum, and he says to him, Zechei imi, can you give me some tzedakah money? Mimati iskabach, I see that you're leading a bunch of donkeys here with such good food, and I'm very sick. Now, mukashchin is a kind of a dermatological disease of boils and so forth. Amalei, so Nachum turns to the Ani and he says to him, Mechzur, I'm on my way to my father-in-law. On my way back, I'll give you some food. Chazar, on his way back, when Nachum came back, Ashkemis, he found that he died. Havilei l'kibble, and Nachum stood up on the body of the dead, the deceased, and he made the following declaration: Einaya, my eyes, the chaminoch that saw you, velo yosvun loch, and did not give you tzedakah, yistaimun, should be blind. He cursed himself. My hands that didn't give you, yiskatun, should be cut off. Raglayach de lo rotun lemesav loch, the legs that didn't run to give you, yosvun, should be broken down. And he adds to this, umatase ken. The Gemara says that in fact all of these curses came to fruition. Solik l'gabei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva goes to console Nochum. Amalei, Rabbi Akiva says to Nochum, Oili shani roa oscha v'kach. How woe it is to me that I see you suffering so much. You're blind. Your legs are broken. Your arms have been cut off. And your body is full of boils. Amalei, Nochum says to Rabbi Akiva, Oili she'en ani roa oscha b'kach. As if to say, you know what? I'm going to see you in that situation. Amal le Rabbi Akiva says, Ma tama kaleni, what are you cursing me out? Why do I deserve to be cursed? Amal le, Nochem says to Rabbi Akiva, Ma tama vait bisurin, because when you say oi li, you are diminishing the significance of affliction, of suffering. And it's mechaper al achet, chaviven olai yisurin, shemechaper al achet. An unbelievable level here of a perfect tzaddik that for an and again, you know, he wasn't guilty of any deliberate infraction, but nevertheless, he wants to arrive in Olam Abba in a state of Tara with complete kapara, and therefore chaviv olai yisurin. Rabbi Hoshea Rabbah, another story about Stoka. Hava Rabbe Divrei, the Rebbe of his teacher, no, it's Rabbi Hoshea hired a tutor for his son, and that tutor was Chatzaginor, was a blind person. Vavi Yolif, and this Melamed, who was blind, Achol Ime, he would eat with Rav Hoshea. And on one occasion, Bechol Yom, and Chadzman, on one occasion, Havile Orchim, Rav Hoshea had guests. And he was very preoccupied with receiving and welcoming his guests. And therefore, Velomato Mine Mechul Ime. And he didn't come to eat together with this Melamed, this blind Melamed. Beramsha. So that evening, Solik Lagabe, Rav Hoshea went to see the Melamed and to try to explain and justify why he didn't immediately come to eat with him. Amalei says to the Melamed, Lo Yichos Mari, like, please, my master, don't get angry at me. But began as a result of Havi Liochin that I had guests, Yomadin on this day. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us how great is the mitzvah of Aknos Orchim. It's even greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah that we learned from Avraham Avinu. The Amris, and I said, I thought it out, and I came to the conclusion, Dolo Levazui, they shouldn't be humiliated, be a kar demari yom adin, if I would leave them on this day. Now, in the translation that I have, in the Masifti, he says that Mare Yoma is Kvod Hashchina. In other words, their kavod, the kavod that I give to the Orchim, is really Kvod Hashchina. We'll begin Canaan, therefore, Lo Achlis im Mare Yoma. That's why I couldn't come to eat with you on this day. And the Melamed was Nispayes, Amale Ata Piyasta. You gave a pacification. You pacified Laman Dimischame Velo Chame for a blind person who can be seen by others but cannot see. And therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, and that's Chus, Dein de Chame Velo Mischame Yikabel Piyuscha. He, with a capital H, who cannot be seen but sees, should accept your pleas as well. And pacify you. Let me just see what he says here in the note, if he adds anything. Okay, so it means that Hashem should accept your appeasement. Amar Leh, Rav Hoshea said, Hada Menoilach, did you hear such chachma? He felt that the way that it was expressed by this blind person was so special, he must have had a tradition. Amalei, so the blind person said, May Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, I derived it from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Oil Chad the Sagi Nahora Lekarte. He came to a city, and who joined him in that city? It was a blind person who was poor, and he needed funds, Yosef Le. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov responded, I'm sorry, he set up his chair, Lera Mine, below this blind person. the Yemru, so the people will say the Ilule Dahavi Bar Nosha Rab, if not that he's an Odom Gadol, Lo Yosef Le, he wouldn't have sat below him. Rebelosa, Lo Rabine. Often Le Parnosa Dikar. So as a result that they understood that this blind person wasn't just some sort of ordinary person, but he was a great, one of the greats. So they gave him Parnosa Bekavot, more than they would have given to other Aniyim. Amar Lone, so the Summa says to the members of the city, Ma u hochin, why are you being mechabim me so much? Amrin Le, so they told him that Rabbi Lozman Yaakov Yosef L'Rami Noch, that he was sitting below you. And we derive from that that this Summa was Saluye Aluye, Hodetzlosa. So when the Summa heard this and he realized that what Rabbi Elizabeth and Yaakov had done on his behalf so that he could be provided with the this wonderful wonderful gift and charity. So what happened? He started praying on behalf of Rabbi Elizabeth and Yaakov as a matter of gratitude, and he said, Ato gamalto chesed lamanda mischami v'lo chamit. You extended compassion for someone who can be seen but cannot see. Is dan dechami demachami yigmol liyasechas. He, with a capital H, who can see but cannot be seen, should bestow upon you great chesed. The Gemara says that we see from these various stories about the special nature of the mitzvah of tzedakah. So the Gemara says, Dilma, another Maisa, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina of Rabbi Hoshaya of Rama, Havi Mitailinon Be'ilein Knishta Delut. Now, by way of introduction to this next Gemara, I would point out to you that there are communities in America, I don't want to mention which one, If you're from New York, you would know right away what I have in mind. But even in Canada, I saw something very similar. There are certain communities that they will build the most unbelievable synagogues, edifices, and you can't begin to imagine how much money went in. And those communities actually take pride in the fact that they have built such beautiful edifices. But if you read this Gemara that we're about to learn now, maybe that money could have been used in a more effective way. And Rabbi Chama was walking with Rav Hoshaya, Oyimitailina be'ilen knishta Lud. They were passing the beautiful synagogues in the city of Lud. Omer Rav Chama bar Chanina, he turns to Rav Oshid, he says, Kama momon shiku avosai kan. My forefathers were the ones who built these beautiful synagogues here in Lud. The amount of money that they spent is beyond belief. Amalei, so Rav Oshi says to Rav Chama, Kama nefashos shiku avosecha kan. How many Talmidei Chachamim were lost to our forefathers right here because you built this? Your forefathers built this, these Batei Knesios. Lo avi de'is b'nei nash de'yolin b'oraisa. Wouldn't it have been a better idea if the money would have been diverted towards Rabbonim and Talmidei Chachamim so that they could be Osek b'Torah?
Special delivery.
You want to try to set it up? Because maybe I could still do the Zoom meeting. No. Okay, never mind.
Okay. I have to take him. Oh,
sorry. Give him a big kiss. Thanks. Okay. So that the Talmidei Chacham could have used that money to support themselves so that they could dedicate themselves to the study of Torah. So how many Talmidei Chachamim, as a result of the fact that they didn't have the money, were not able to dedicate themselves to the study of Torah? Another story. A very similar idea. Rabbi Avun Avad Ilein Taraya. Taraya are gates. And Rabbi Avun took his money and he contributed to build beautiful gates. Here we turn to Tesvava min Beis, the Sidra Rabba, to the large base Knesset, base Medrash in the town. Also, Rabbi Mona Legabe, and Rabbi Mona came to visit Rabbi Avon, and Omer Le, Rabbi Avon starts boasting, Chami Mai Ovitz, look how much mammon I spent out of my pocket to build these beautiful gates. Omer Le, so Rabbi Mona says to Rabbi Avon, I think you should learn a pasuk in Hoshaya Novi, Vayishkach Yisrael Esel Seir. And the people of Israel forgot their maker, Vayiven Echolos, and instead they built these beautiful structures, these cathedrals. Lo Havi B'nei Nash, the Yold O'Raisa? Weren't there so many Talmidei Chacham who could have been supported and dedicated themselves to Amelus B'Torah if instead of building these Echolos, the monies would have been earmarked to support the Talmidei Chacham? And there's a famous tshuva, I think, of the Chassam Sofer. Where did I see that here in the Masifta? Okay, I don't know if I'll find it now. But anyway, the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva about some person who was building a shul in Yerushalayim and whether or not he should use and earmark the money instead for Torah scholars. And the Chassam Sofer said it's not even a shaila. He said those who spend monies on beautiful synagogues, when the money could have been used for Torah itself, I mean, it's not a praiseworthy thing. Now, again, I just want to point out, because I may have overstepped my bounds here when I implied a criticism for those communities that build these beautiful shuls, that maybe we could say that lekafschus, that they do give money, you know, to Torah institutions, and at the same time, they, Baruch Hashem, they're very wealthy, and they also can build these beautiful synagogues. Okay, I have a lot of stories about this because so many people boast about where they give that tzedakah money. And it's not really always proper. Tani, we learned in a braisa, if there's not enough money in the lishka for kodshe mizbeach, motzien saroy lemi kodshe bedek bayis. Now, you have to understand that mizbeach is a higher level of Hegdesh than Bedek HaBayis, so that therefore, if need be, we can dip in to the funds of Bedek HaBayis in order to upgrade them and use them for Kodshei Mizbeach. And of course, we're going to have to be Mechalel the Kedusha of Bedek HaBayis onto Mos, and then those Mos will be earmarked towards Kodshei Mizbeach. The opposite is not true, but ein kodshei bedek habayis motzinus aroy lem mikodshei mizbeach. If let's say we have needs for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, we cannot, even though there's a great need, we cannot dip into the funds that were earmarked for mizbeach and redirect them towards bedek habayis. So we're going to ask for a taninon. Well, what about our Mishnah? The Mishnah says that klisha mitzolo bolitzor bedek habayis menichin oso vasharnim karmit meim noflin lubedek habayis. Now, why did the Mishnah have to tell me that if the kelim that were donated have no function, there's no need for the Beis Hamikdash, then we sell them and the money is earmarked towards Bedek HaBayis? Why mention Bedek HaBayis? You should have gone a step further and said we can use them for the Mizbeach. If we have a choice, we should always be Milo B'Kedusha to the higher level of Hegdesh. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Chizkia, Kine Masnisen, Lulishkas Bedek HaBayis. You should interpret the words of our Mishnah that they needed the Mos for the Lishkas Bedek HaBayis, not for the Mizbeach. Now, the reason why these Mos go to the Bedek HaBayis is because we're talking about Mos, well, Lulishkas Bedek HaBayis. That if you don't have Kodshei Mizbeach, you need funds, then we can take it from Bedek HaBayis. And that is really true. However, when the Mishnah says that the proceeds would go to the Bedek HaBayis for the upkeep of the temple, what it meant to say is a case where you have this lishka, right? We said it was the lishka of Caleb. And in the case of the lishka Caleb, the chamber, I would say, within the Beis HaMikdash, where they collected those monies and those Caleb, but that was for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Alpidin, we have to dedicate this money for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And basically, I'll read to you this translation. He says, Yesh lahamid is divrei Mishnah tzorach b'mos elu lishkas bedek habayis. That we're talking about a situation in which they needed these funds for bedek habayis. They didn't need funds for the mizbeach. But einochinami, if lu yitzu, they had no funds for the kodesh mizbeach and they needed funds, then we could redirect funds of bedek habayis for the kodesh mizbeach. Hadron alecha perek elu heim hamimun. And now we start the sixth perek of Masechta Shkolin. And the Mishnah starts with a discussion about kupos. Shloshasar shofros. These 13 receptacles where they gathered the money for were shaped like shofros. They were made of wood and they were narrow on top and wide on the bottom like a shofar. If you stand it on its point. You know, if you stand it on the place where you blow it. Now, it's so interesting to me that the number 13 appears over and over and over again in this mission. Shloshasar shulchanos, there were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara is going to later on explain what each table functioned. Shloshasrei shtachavos, there were 13 times, 13 different locations within the Beis HaMikdash where there was a chiyuv hishtachava b'migdash, that you have to bow, prostrate yourself. However, shal beis Rav Gamliel, v'shal beis Rabbi Chanina, they added a 14th location that required a shtachavo. And where was this extra number 14 prostration? Where was it? Keneged deer ha'etzim. They stood outside the deer etzim, which was located on the north eastern side of the Azara, which is a place where they stored the trees, the logs, in order to keep the burning of the Eish on the Maracha going. And who is in charge of going into this Dir Ha'etzim? It was what we call Kohanim Balei Mumim. No, it's those Kohanim, because of physical blemishes, they could not serve on the Migdah, on the Mizbeach. Therefore, they would be in charge of the Eitzim. They would check the wood to make sure that it wasn't attacked by little creatures. And the people of Beis Rav Gamliel and Beis Rabbi Chanan, they would bow when they came close to the Dira Eitzim. Why? Why were they bowing? So the Mishnah says she came Mesoros Biyodo Mevosem She Shomar Nigdas. So we don't know exactly where Yoshio HaMelech actually hid the Aron. And we have a lost ark. And they assume that the ark was buried in the Lishkas HaEitzim. And therefore there was covered of Aron, and therefore there was Mishtach V'Shom. Now, what led them to the conclusion, what story, what episode, that the Aron was buried Begniza, of all places, underneath the floor of the Lishkas HaEitzim? Because Maisa B'Kohen Echad Shayim is Asik, he was going into the Lishkas HaEitzim, but not for the purpose of an avoda, but he was going there just for, you know, he was curious, he was in a light mood. It's called Betiul Ubischo. And Ra, He noticed that there's something strange in the floor. Different interpretations, exactly what he noticed, but we'll say that one tile was higher than the other. So he understood that the floor had been removed and reset. And it wasn't reset perfectly. And what he thought was that apparently they had taken off the floor. This is after the Churban of the Bayis. And they hid the Aron underneath the floor. And that's where the Geniza of the Aron was. Lo Hispik, Ligmar Sadover. He was about to show it to his friend and tell him exactly what it is. Achiyotze Nishmaso. And he died. V'yadu, they understood, b'yichud, without a question, shesham, there in the Lishkas Eitzim, ha'aron ganus. That's where the aron was hidden. Tani, ha'shofros, we learned in the Brice of these shofros alolum, amukos, so they were curved. And Soros Milomala, they were narrow on top, Urchovas Milomata, wide on the bottom, Ibnea Ramoyim, because the Ramai could not steal because he couldn't put his hand into the shofros. Tani, we learned in the name of Shem Rabbi Eliezer, Aron Gola Imoyim. The Aron, according to this opinion, was not hidden, but rather it went out into Golus after the destruction of the first Migdash into Bavel. My Taima. What leads you to the conclusion that the Aron went out with the people of Israel into Golus? A pasuk in Melachim Beis, Perikof, it says, Vayomer Yeshayo el Chizkiyo Shema Dvar Hashem, Hine yomim ba'im v'nisa, Kol asher b'veisecha, V'asher atzru avosecha ad ha'yom hazeh b'vela, Lo yivaser dover omar Hashem. Now, at the beginning of the pasuk, it says, V'nasa, V'niso kol asher b'veisecha. And then it says, lo yivase dover om Hashem. It's exactly the same. So the pasuk is redundant. And the answer is that the pasuk wants to tell us that not only was everything, or will everything be taken, this is a nevuah of Yeshayahu HaNavi, not everything, not only is it true that everything of the otzar v'secha Adayom HaZeh will be taken Bavela, but Lo Yivas HaDavar, even the Aron wouldn't be left back in the Beis HaMikdash, it would be taken out to Bavel. Ein Davar La Dibros, and the word Davar here, in the Pasuk Lo Yivas HaDavar Hashem, is a reference to the Aseres HaDibros, the Luchos, that were Letocho inside the Aron. So we now have two opinions as to whether or not the Aron was lost in the exile of Bavel, or whether or not the Aron is still there in the Beis HaMikdash, just we don't know where to find it. Now the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk of Divrei Hayom to support this Braisa of Rabbi Eliezer, because the Braisa is talking about a prophetic vision. But V'chein Hu Omer, the pasuk of Divrei Hayom testifies that this actually occurred. Because it says, "L'tshuvas hashana sholach hamelch Nebuchadnezzar vayivieha bavela im klei chemdas beis Hashem." That when Nebuchadnezzar cleared out whatever they took from the land of Israel into Bavel, he took out the klei chemda, ezu klei chemda, and then it says beis Hashem, zeu ha'aron, the aron that contains and houses the Torah, about which it says, Hanechamodim bipaz umitzaf rav, meaning that they're more cherished than even the most expensive metals, gold, and so forth and so on. Now we have another opinion of Shimon Lakish Omer. The Aron didn't go into Golus and Bavel, but rather it was hidden in the Beis HaMikdash itself, where in the Beis Kodshe Kodshe, Haya Aron Nignas. Hado Dixiv, what's the proof to Rav Shimon Lakish? Again in Malachim But here it's Malchum Aleph, Perkches. Vayarichu Abadim, the poles were extended, the poles that were on two sides of the Aron to carry the Aron. Vayiro Roshei Abadim. And you could actually see the Roshei Abadim, the tips of these poles. Min HaKodesh Al Pnei HaDvir. Dvir is a reference to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'lo Yiro Achutza. Now, what does V'lo Yiro Achutza mean? And then it says, V'yu Shom Ad HaYom HaZeh. Now, the Ad HaYom HaZeh means forever and ever. So the Aron was taken from its place on a permanent basis. It was removed from its place. And yet it says, Vayarichu abadim, vayorosh abadim, min hakodesh al pnei advir, v'lo yiro achutza. So let's just see what we can get out of this here. I have a note. Just one second. I'll read to you the note. It says that they extended the poles so that the tips of the poles were seen from the sanctuary on the surface of the Holy of Holies. Yet they were not seen from the outside. In other words, the tips of the poles could not be seen on the outside. But what you saw was that there were poles that were held back, so to speak, by the paroches. And Ksiv, the pasuk says, Vayeru Roshei Abadim. Now, it says, Ad Amrit Lo Yiro Achutza. And yet it says, Vayiro Roshei Abadim. How do we reconcile this? If the Roshei Abadim was seen on the outside in the Kodesh Kodashim, and that's why Yiro Roshei Abadim, so why does it say Lo Yiro Achutza? Ela, but rather the Badim were pushed up against the Parochas, and Nirim V'lo Nirim, Boltim V'yotzim Kishnei Dadei Aisha. You could see the outline of the Roshei Abadim as they, so to speak, pushed into the Parochas, as they jutted out. But you couldn't actually see the Roshei Abadim because they were behind the Parochas. And the Gemara gives a strange equation here. The Gemara says, Boltim v'yotzim kishnei dadei aisha. When a woman wears clothing, you could see the top part of her body as it protrudes, but it's covered by clothing. Maybe the Gemara wants us to have a different view of that part of a woman's body, to realize that it's like the body ha-shulchan. The body of Aaron. And the pasuk in Shir Shirim that we read just yesterday, not yesterday, 2 days ago, right? That pasuk compares the breasts of a woman to Bein Abadim. That's where the Shechina appears. Anyway, Rabbanan say that this was not the Kodesh Kodashim, that's not where the Aaron was hidden. But rather, Belishkas, dear ha'etzim ha'yaron gom, was ma'isa v'koin echad balmum, she'a omen im fatzel etzim. Belishkas, dear ha'etzim ra'asa ritzpa, she'i mishtana mi'chavrusel. Bo v'yomel l'chaveru, bo re'eas ha'ritzpa zos, she'i mishtana mi'chavrusel. Lo hispik ligmar sadorat, she'i yotza nishmoso, v'yodu v'yichud, she'i shamaron gonuz. So this is the sheet of the Rabbanon, that the Aaron, unlike Reish Lakish, who claims it was buried in the Kodesh Kadosh, was buried under the ground of the Dir HaEitzim. And Tani Rabbi Yoshia says that when that Kohen understood from the Ritzbah that something is underneath it, Hikish Aleh B'Kurnus, he took a hammer and he started banging there in order to start straightening out the floor, because one tile was higher than the other. V'yotze esh v'sarfato. And here again we have a machlokas, what that means. One interpretation is that the fire came and burnt the hammer, the cornice. And the other says that it burnt him. Tani Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. I don't know if he's related to Reish Lakish. Amar. Shnei Aronis hayu mahalchim im Yisrael b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. Aron Echad, one of them, which was made by Bezalel Shahisa. HaTorah Nesuna b'tocha the Luchos. Meaning the complete Luchos, which is the second set of Luchos. Were inside that Aron. That accompanied the people in the desert. The Acher, and there was another Aron. And that was created by Moshe Rabbeinu, Shayeshivrei Luchos Nesuna v'Tocha. And that's where the broken pieces of the tablets, the first set of Luchos, were contained in this Aron. So we have two Aronos. That's one opinion. Now, Zesha Ha'isa Torah Nesuna v'Tocha, the one that had the complete Luchos, which was the one that was built by Bezalel, Hayamunach Biol Moed, it was always permanently set in the Mishkan. Hado Dechsiv, and that's why the Pasuk says, Vayapilu Lalos El Rosh HaHar, V'Aron Bris Hashem U'Moshe Lo Moshu Mikerev HaMachne. So when the Mapilim pushed themselves to go to the top of the mountain, and we have a whole parasha in the Torah that tells us about the Mapilim, and when Bnei Yisrael unfortunately fell prey to the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, who said that they wouldn't be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now they wanted to do tshuva, and they wanted to invade Eretz Yisrael, but Hashem declared that they should not yet enter the land, and that instead they would die in the Midbar. So they attempted to defy the will of God and invade the land on their own. These were the rebels, called the Mapilim. I don't know, here in the modern Israel, they use the word Mapilim in a different context, but here, the Mapilim are known as rebels. And they were not accompanied by the Aron, because the Aron was held back in its permanent place in the Mishkan. Okay. Just one second, I lost the place for a second. Bear with me. Yeah. And this Aron, Shayeshivrei Luchos Nesuna v'Tocha, Nichnas v'Yotze Imoyem. So that this brisa of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish brings support from the pasuk in Bamidbar Yudal about the Ma'pilim, because the pasuk says that the Aron Bris Hashem lo moshu mikerev anach. And what the Gemara is saying is that if the Aron would accompany them to the Melchama, then the Mapilim would have taken it with them, because they wanted to conquer the land of Israel. So it must have been that the Aron was left behind in the Ol Moed, and the one that was on the move was that second Aron that housed the Shivrei Luchos. And the Pasuk says, V'aron bris Hashem nosea lifneim. And often it was taken out with them to the Milchama. So there was one Aron Zabrisol Moshu Mikerev Machna. That was the permanently established Aron that never went out with them into battle. That had the Luchos Hashlemos, the second set of Luchos in it. But the other Aron that had the Shivrei Luchos, that would go in and out with them as they traveled through their journeys, and as they approach their enemies. The Rabbanan Amri, Aron Echad Hayu, they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, and they insist that there was only one Aron, and it housed both set of Luchos, the full Luchos, the second, and the first set of Shivrei Luchos, Upamachas, Yotze Bimei Eli V'Nishba. And on one occasion, they took this Aron out to battle, against the Plishtim, and it was taken captive. As it says in the Pasuk, Vayishlach Ha'am, Shiloh, Vayiso, Misham, Es Aron, Bris Hashem, Tzvokos, Yoshev, Akruvim, and Vayilachmu Plishtim, Vaynogif, Yisrael, Vayaron, Alakim, Nilkach. That's when the Plishtim captured the Aron. And it was only one Aron. Cryo, there's a Pasuk, Messayelu, the Rabbanan, that supports the Chachamim, that there was only one Aron, and it never went out with them to battle. And there was only one occasion when it went out to battle, and that was at the battle of the Plishtim, when the Plishtim actually capsized the Aron. But as a general rule, the Aron did not go out with them to Milcham. And we're going to see this from a statement of the Plishtim themselves. Because when they heard that the Aron went out with the Machne Yisrael, they declared, Oy lanu kilo hoysa kazos esmol shulchan. Oy lanu mi yatzilenu miyad Elohim hadirim ha'ele Elohim Elohim ha'makimis Mitzrayim b'chol mako b'midbar. So we see that there was a tremendous fear of the Plishtim, because milu d'lcham u'nimeim, they had never seen this in their entire life, that the Aron would go out to battle. So they thought they were goners, because the Aron would certainly protect them. I mean, this was the nation that had defeated the greatest civilization of Mitzrayim. If you would say that the Aron on a regular basis went out to Milchama, then there was no reason for them to say, Oy lanu, etc., etc. Kroya Mesayel Yudava. On the other hand, we have a pasuk that supports Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, that there were in fact two Arons, because in the Milchama of Shaul HaMelech against the Plishtim, back in Shmuel Aleph, there it says, Vayomer Shaul Achia, Hagisha Aron Helokim, bring me the Aron. Hello, at that time, Aron, Bekiryas Ya'arim Haya. After the Aron was freed from the Plishtim, it was set in a place called Kiryas Ya'arim, right here in Telstone. And that's where they placed it. And when they returned it during the time of David HaMelech, that's where it was, in Kiryas Ya'arim. So how could Shaul request that they should bring him the Aron if the Aron was stationary? There must have been a second Aron that housed the broken Luchos and would go out with them to Milchama, and that's why Shaul said, bring him over, because we're about to embark on Milchama against the Plishtim. So the Gemara asks, Man Ovid Le Rabban, what are the Rabban going to do with this Pasuk? And they say, Agisha Eli Hatzitz, that what Shaul HaMelech said was not to bring me the Aron, but rather bring me the Big Day Kahuna. And the Kohen Gadol, as you know, wore the tzitz. And all these begadim were necessary in order to be Shaul Urim V'Tum. So Shaul, when he said Aron Elokim, he meant the Aron that has within it those Tashmishe Kedusha that would allow me to figure out whether we should go out to battle. We'll ask for a question for the Urim V'Tum, and we'll know whether we should go out and battle against the Plishtim. And finally, Karya, we have a Pasuk, Misayel or Abiyudah ben Lakish, that there were two Aronos, and only one of them went out to the Milchama. And the Pasuk says that Uriah tells David HaMelech had sent Uriah home, back to his wife, and Uri responded, Ha'orim v'Yisrael v'Yehuda Yoshvim b'sukos. He says that the Aron is sitting in a place called Sukkos. And now you want me to go home and eat and drink and have relation and intimacy with my wife? How could I do such a thing? Now, Yoshim b'Sukkos seems to imply that there was another Aron, that there were two Aronos. And in addition to the Aron that was stationary, there was one that was left in Sukkos. So the Gemara here on the top of Tezayin Amnav says, V'alo Aron b'Tzion. In the city of David, before the Beis HaMikdash was built, that's where the Aron was located. And that's called Kiryas Ya'arim. So how could Uriah say that the Aron is sitting in a place called Sukkos? It must be that Uriah has reference here to a second Aaron that went out with them to battle. And once again, the Gemara says, "My avdin le rabbanan." What are the rabbanan going to do with this pasuk? And the Gemara answers that tzchach hayu bekirui shadayin lo nivda beis habechira, that the ark was under a covering like a temporary roof prior to the point in which the beis habechira was built. And in fact, there's only one aron. Okay, then. So this is where we'll stop for today. And if Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue the daf tes. Tes Zah.